All right, got a great show for you today. Solo episode, just Doug Norrie here on the mic. Going to break down the win over the Magic on Friday. Also have to talk about some of these injury concerns mounting up for the Nets as well, even though they get Kevin Durant sort of a rest day. Some other things are kind of creeping into the picture when it comes to the Nets' health overall and why it could be something of a theme for the rest of the season. Thanks so much for making Locked On Nets your first listen of the day. We are free and available on all platforms. Pack podcast here, Nets win, injury stuff, Durant, cascading effects for the rest of the roster. It is all coming up. But first, theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Brooklyn, yo. All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast and the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, the Brooklyn Nets, every single gosh darn day of the week. I'm Doug Norrie, owner and operator, DFSR.com. If you need some projections for FanDuel, DraftKings, NBA, got NHL up there as well, NFL, obviously, go on over to DFSR.com. Got you covered. No Adam Armbrecht today. Recording this on Sunday. He had some weekend plans that involved a bridal thing or a bachelor thing or who even knows. So he's not here in the old proverbial studio today. That's all right. Plenty to talk about in Nets world. Some good stuff, some not so great stuff for the Nets. I almost jumped on and did an emergency podcast following Friday night's game against the Magic. It was a win, but there was almost so much to talk about in this one that it felt like, you know, we don't typically record for Saturday podcasts. You know, got to take the weekend off every once in a while, but there was so much happening in this game between how, you know, no Durant and Harden kind of having to take over the whole team, some injury stuff we need to get into, a huge comeback against Orlando. There was a lot going on that I think, you know, almost warranted a sort of emergency podcast for Saturday, because this is a game. Okay, well, so we'll start with Harden and Durant. So on last week's Friday podcast, we talked about how, you know, the minutes on these guys was not getting out of control, but probably warranted some monitoring in the short term, just so we didn't start going crazy in terms of usage and load early on in the season in games that are important but not critical for where the Nets' trajectory is, right? So a Friday night game against Orlando, you know, 17th game of the season, is not one that you want to sometimes, or anytime really, expend max energy for, because it's Orlando. They're 4-12. They're a team in rebuild mode. You know, the game's at home. And so for Brooklyn, and so you think to yourself, well, this would be a nice one to get out of without having to expend too much energy, right? And then almost right away on Friday, we hear, okay, Kevin Durant is going to sit out the game. They're claiming the shoulder injury. I think it's probably that slash a nice time on the back-to-back to have him get out and not have to play too much, right? So, play at all. And so I think sometimes these injuries are nice to put on the injury report, because they give, something to report to the league for. And we know that he had been playing with the shoulder injury for a few games. And maybe at that point, it's like not the worst thing in the world to have him rest a little bit. And we talked about in the last week's podcast about how we saw that toward the end of that game, those last 4 minutes or so, with KD totally disengaged, that it wouldn't be the worst thing for him to get a little rest. Bam, you get Friday where he's not gonna sit the game, or excuse me, he's going to sit the game out. So that's great. So he gets a rest. It looks like he's going to be back for the next game. No one seems to think that this is going to be a lingering issue. But then on the flip side, you get this game against the Magic with Harden, who ends up going out and playing 41 minutes of sort of like max effort basketball, because now the load is really fully on him. When you lose Kevin Durant and then you replace him with, you know, DeAndre Bembry, in the lineup, and Bembry's been, you know, a nice player for the Nets. No one would ever think that's anything more than a, or less than a massive monumental downgrade. To go from Kevin Durant to just about anybody in the league is a huge downgrade. So now all of a sudden it falls on Harden to play these like sort of like really high leverage, high intensity minutes, and he plays nearly the whole game because it's necessity at this point for the Nets. That they're so, and we'll get into some more of the injuries, but they're so thin at this one against Orlando that now Harden has to, now he has to really, really kind of ramp up and do everything for the team. Now for Harden, that's been sort of his calling card for his career, is that he's, and actually, and it kind of flipped when he got to Brooklyn, that he is the one that can kind of take the load on himself. Like he, we saw him for, you know, an entire career worth of basketball, basically in Houston, where he held the, he had the ball, you know, an inordinate amount of time, that he was required to do almost everything for their offense. And when he gets to Brooklyn, it becomes a little different. He's able to share the ball and he shows he's, you know, a really willing passer, and he has other superstars that can do this with him. But this game kind of got back to that old version of Harden in some way, right? 25 shots, 41 minutes, took 13 threes, super inefficient from three, 3 for 13. But does end up with 36 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists. And like I said, and a bunch of defensive stats too, he was really engaged on the defensive end, especially as they made this sort of second half run that we'll get to in a second. But just to talk about this minutes thing that we talked, and then I'll get into a little bit more about the game, some other things that we saw, but just to talk a little bit more about this injury, excuse me, this minute piece, is it's great. You do this one thing for Durant. Awesome. He gets to sit out. He gets the rest. The way the schedule works out, it ends up being like a 4-day rest, which is nice because they don't play it all over the weekend. And then on the other side, you get this game from Harden where this is going to, this, you know, we're going to have to log these minutes as something that, you know, to maybe continue to be concerned about going forward. So I think it's a little different for Harden than is Durant. Their games are predicated in slightly different ways. I think, you know, you want to say Harden's used to this style of basketball for himself. I think that's in part true, that he's done this sort of like high minutes, high usage, you know, a lot of physicality, especially when he's getting to the basket. He got fouled a ton in this game. He went to the line 20 times. So, you know, because I said the 25 shots, but I left off the part where the 20 free throw attempts, I mean, the usage in this game for him was just completely nuts. So, and plus he had the 6 turnovers, and the usage gets counted in that too. So, like, this guy really just did just about everything for the Nets, relatively speaking, on Friday. They get the win. So, it's one of these things we say, okay, that's great. We got Durant with some rest. We got the win. You know, they took a little bit, was a little bit harder than I think anyone wanted it to be. But you still have to look at the Harden game and say, okay, we got halfway there with this. We're halfway with the overworking on the minutes. Durant gets the rest, but Harden gets to go out there and kind of just literally do everything for the team for an entire game. And that's another thing that can end up catching up with you. So I think it's still something to monitor. I do think Durant will be back for Monday's game. All signs are pointing that that was just going to be a one-game rest. You know, Harden still looked healthy, so you're still fine with it. I'm just saying that as we get to the end of the, excuse me, as we get to the middle and then the end of the season, and we're starting to count back on all these minutes and the usage, and you know how the hits that he takes over the course of a year, I don't think we'll go back and use the Orlando game as a referendum on something that happened, but it will end up going into the ledger as a lot of minutes for one game for a guy who now continues to play just about the most minutes in the league. Want to talk more about this game, more about injury concerns for the Nets, obviously, as some more stuff has now creeped back up into their world when it comes to injury. First, got to talk to you about our friends over at Prize Picks. If you're into the DFS game, mentioned at the beginning, some of these DFS operators, sometimes you're dealing with salary caps, you're dealing with a bunch of sharks out there that are putting in hundreds, thousands of lineups. It can be really, really hard to deal with, not with Prize Picks. Prize Picks, the best NBA DFS prop game on the market. They have more prop games for NBA than any other DFS operator out there. It's super easy to use. You're basically just picking over-unders on players and stats. So you go in there, and they have a bunch of guys too. So they'll do the superstars like the Hardens, but they're going to have a lot of bench players too. So if you are following NBA like we do and you're really into this, you go over to Prize Picks. It's you against them, over under points, rebounds, assists. You can combine some of those together as well. You pick 2 to 5 players, you go the over under on their projections. You can go up to 10x on any entry, and it's just you versus those projected numbers. You can also mix it between sports, so you maybe go over on something on the NBA and then maybe under on something or some guy with the NFL. That's just how it works. You can use the award-winning Prize Pick apps from both the App Store and in Google Play. Entries can be made in just a minute or less. It's that easy. Prize Pick is safe. Offers super fast withdrawals. Don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com. Use the promo code NBA or go to your App Store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. And this probably sounds familiar to you. You got a device that you're watching one game live. Watching the Nets on one device. Then you're trying to stream your favorite shows on something else. You're watching highlights on something. Maybe you're kind of phoning a friend when it comes to getting the password for another account for the login that you need. That you just you don't really want to go all the way there. But someone like Adam has that username and password for you. You can get rid of all this stuff and stop worrying about it. When you get DirecTV Stream, it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together. Like never before, you can watch your favorite sports, movies, shows, all in one place, not juggling those devices anymore. Forget about juggling remotes as well. It took me 30 minutes to find one of mine the other night. I had to pay off my kid to find a remote. Stuck on the couch, just like they always are. No more of all that juggling. You get rid of the clutter and the confusion. Get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. All right, so this game against the Magic. This one was a little bit closer and kind of a little more white knuckle than you want it to be. Nets are down 62 to 53 at halftime. They had fallen down by double digits at times. If you looked at how the game was going, you could see that it probably was not going to last for the Magic. I even tweeted out, I think the Nets were down 13, tweeted out on Friday, I said Nets are going to win this. Book it. Did actually put in a live bet on the Nets at +5 when they were down 13 at one point, because it was very clear, if you feel like basketball is regressive, that there was just no way the Magic were going to continue to shoot something like 55% from three, which I think that's where they were in the first half. And the Nets were at like 21% or something. And if you say to yourself, okay, that just simply can't last, players, regress to their means, maybe not all in one game, but you get enough shots up in the air. That is just how basketball goes. Basketball is like weirdly predictive sometimes like that, not necessarily in a half of basketball, but you give guys enough shots, they're going to basically do what it is they do. So you get I get the +5. When they're down 13, I actually felt really confident that they were going to come back. This Orlando team was playing really well, but they're young. They're a little bit sloppy. They're just inexperienced. Their bench, outside of maybe Terrence Ross, really leaves a lot to be desired. So there was not – it made it for an exciting game. I would have liked for it to have been a blowout so that the Nets could rest Harden, like we mentioned before, and rest some of these other guys. But that is not what ends up happening. It ends up becoming a really, really exciting game. And then, boom, you get into the third quarter of this one, and the Nets just go on an absolute tear. 37-21 in the third quarter. Everything falling. Energy level at, peak Nets, but really high. The defensive engagement was awesome. You saw, total buy-in, because I think they thought to themselves and said, hey, the way we're going to win this game is we're going to be able to score enough. But we have to dial it on the defensive end. We cannot make these baskets easy anymore. And they were probably too easy in the first half. We can't make this easy anymore. We're going to need to end up dialing in on the defensive end. They ended up doing that. Blake had three blocks and two steals. Harden, I mentioned, three steals, two blocks. You get Bembry in there shooting every gap. And then you get a bunch of quality bench minutes from some of these guys who we'll get to in a second. And you also need to get the last piece, which is the secondary scoring that you really needed from Patty Mills, who stayed in the starting lineup, and a little bit of bench scoring as well. So you get this third quarter that gets the Nets right back in it, and then they actually, not even in it, they just take the lead. And you can see like Barclays is rocking a little bit. The energy level is really high. And this is kind of exactly the sort of scrappy game. It's funny because you really don't want to call games that involve James Harden on your team scrappy. But it's easy to see how it can get to that point when you look at how the rest of this roster is now constructed. Because like now, think about this roster that they're running against the Magic here, and as compared to what it was supposed to be to start the season. Rewind 2 months ago, and we get, okay, it's KD, Harden, Kyrie, Joe Harris, probably Blake. That's probably what we're looking at for starting lineup, and then you're going to get bench minutes out of Patty Mills. That's the big signing in the offseason. You're going to get bench minutes out of LaMarcus Aldridge, right? Like, maybe we're going to see some of the rookies. And then we're kind of figuring out where the James Johnson and Paul Millsaps of the world. And I've not even mentioned Nick Claxton. Like, you know, these guys that are supposed to probably play quality minutes. Now you get a game with James Harden, and then it's Patty Mills is now starting because Joe Harris is hurt, right? Now we got to bring in DeAndre Bembry in to start and play a lot of minutes when he was like, it was not even totally clear he was going to make the team out of camp when they brought him in. Okay. You get Bruce Brown in there, okay, on the team last year. But, you know, not a superstar by any means. And then Blake, who's getting a pretty long in the tooth here, but you'll take it. But this all of a sudden is actually kind of like in some ways starting to resemble some of those Harden Rockets teams with like this massive drop off in talent after Harden's game. But what it does is you get this like really high energy team that's everyone sort of playing for a job in some ways, playing for rotation spots now where the Nets are, like because they're just so thin that guys like Bembry are playing just to play more minutes. He's got to play 41 minutes. 41 minutes from DeAndre Bembry. Again, not sure. I mean, pretty sure he was going to make the team, but it wasn't a guarantee when they brought him in the offseason. I don't believe that all that money was guaranteed right out of the gate. And so now you get 26 minutes out of James Johnson, 23 out of Javon Carter, who were like, okay, that's like a nice very end of the bench defensive guard that we're going to have. And now all of a sudden, this is what this team looks like. But what you get from them in that third quarter is a very high intensity, and really, I mean, I guess the whole game, but really kind of dials up in the second half, this really high intensity, scrappy, I guess I use that word a couple times now, scrappy performance from a team that's saying to themselves, okay, we don't have Kevin Durant, we don't have Joe Harris, we don't have Kyrie Irving, Paul Millsap's out, Nick Claxton's not here. We're going to have to get a little weird with our rotations, but what we're not going to do is lose because of lack of effort. Okay, this is not going to be a game that we sort of sleepwalk. We can't sleepwalk through. Sometimes I think the Nets end up sleepwalking a little bit through games because it's probably pretty easy. You have James Harden and Kevin Durant in your team. They do so much that you sometimes just don't need to do tons of stuff. You have Kevin Durant playing MVP levels, you know, like that he's going to do a lot for your team. And you get him and James Harden together, and that's going to be a lot. Now, all of a sudden, those guys aren't there, or, you know, Harden's there and KD isn't. So we're going to really need to dial up the intensity. Patty Mills goes like sort of flamethrower during this stretch where he's knocking down everything. They're dialed up on the defensive end. Energy level is really, really high. And the game kind of swings completely back in favor of the Nets at this point. Okay, they go 37-21 in that third quarter. They still have to keep, it's still close down the stretch. They only end up winning the game by two because really every time you take Harden off the court, it's kind of a problem. Because now there's really just almost no offense, okay? So this is, it's still problematic and why Harden had to play so many minutes. But really, when you look at that third quarter where it all switches, you say to yourself, hey, this is what happens when a team comes together and just says, hey, James can't do it all. We're going to have to step up here. We're going to have to bring the energy level up. We're going to have to really, really dial things up here because it would be, even without Kevin Durant, it would be a pretty embarrassing loss to lose to the Magic at home. I get that this is a dilapidated roster, depleted roster. They're really, really thin. They have their end of their bench now are basically the rookies because they're just out of bodies at this point. But even with all that, even knowing that you've lost, you know, 3/5 of your starting lineup right now, and where you ever want to count Bruce Brown because he gets hurt midway through the game. Like, the fact that they're down so many bodies, even with all of these problems that the Nets have sort of injury-wise or just player personnel-wise, to lose a game to the Magic at home would be a bad loss, even with all those things considered. And we don't have to talk about it because they didn't do it, but I think that this is why you see the energy level dial up for that third period because you come out of the locker room and say, hey, This has got a little scary here. We were down double digits plus to the Magic. They're still the Orlando Magic. They're still playing with, you know, reclamation projects from some teams and sort of wait and see rookies and young players, you know, with the Cole Anthonys and Jalen Suggses of the world and Wendell Carter, who comes over from the Bulls, and, you know, Franz Wagner, who's a nice looking player, but still a rookie. So this is just a team that we really just can't lose at home to, even without Kevin Durant. And I think you see them turn it around in the third period. All right, we got to get into some of these injury pieces for the Nets, because even with KD coming back, there's still some problematic things. First, Thanksgiving's coming up. You can really end up loading up on the calories at Thanksgiving. The stats and some of the stuff that you're going to get, especially around the dessert portion on Thursday, can just be totally nuts. It's a really, really great time to turn over to Built Bar, the very best protein bar on the market. And they started with the flavors too, so you're not going to get a downgrade in the flavor piece of this one. They have coconut, mint chocolate chip, okay, strawberry, peaches and cream. It's all there for Built Bar, raspberry. And then you're not going to deal with some of the bad stats you're going to get from something like a slice of pie. If you just swap it out for a Built Bar, you'll be good to go. A slice of pie, it's upwards of 300 calories. That can be on the low end, not Built Bar. The stats match up here. Only 130 calories, just 4 grams of sugar, plenty of protein in there, low calorie, low carb, low fat, high protein, 100% covered in chocolate. Built Bar is a great option for when you're hungry. And maybe you don't have to wait till Thanksgiving. Go and get a Built Bar today. Perfect for a snack on the go if you're looking to keep the energy level up and the calories down. Go to Built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off of your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right. Heading into Monday here, the injury concerns for the Nets are still a problem. So I mentioned Bruce Brown. Bruce Brown goes out with hamstring tightness in the second half of Friday's game. There hasn't been a ton of word out of the severity of the injury right now. It could have just been precautionary. We also know that hamstrings can be super finicky because they're your hamstring, soft tissue. We saw Harden deal with this and, you know, kind of messed him up for a while at the end of the season, cost him basically the end of the season in the playoffs. He was out there, but he was kind of a shell of himself because it's very difficult to move. They're super easy to re-injure, and I'm just not sure where we are with Bruce Brown's injury. It'll be telling when we get the injury report coming in to Monday about sort of where he lands this game against Cleveland, who's got injury issues of their own. We saw them with a depleted roster as well. That could be the case for them also. So we'll have to see about Bruce Brown. Paul Millsap's still out for personal reasons. They've said it's a family issue. It's not injury related. There's no word on that. He's questionable for Monday, so he could return. His role is still sort of up in the air on this team. Now, he's a guy that for sure would have had a lot of minutes on Friday, probably, if he had been there, because they could have used his versatility. A lot of those minutes went to James Johnson, who was really, really good and definitely made a case for sticking in the rotation going forward. I probably just took too long to even mention James Johnson here. 17 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists. Really, really active as a cutter in this one. The defensive switchability for him is something that the Nets can really use. And he's a guy, you don't want him taking double-digit shots per game for your team if you're usually, but if you're pressed into action and he can get to the rim, because that's where a lot of his shots are coming, then I think you can live with it in short spurts. Some of those minutes definitely would have gone to Millsap had he been around on Friday. So we'll see what happens with him. Personal reasons, could be anything. Hope everything is okay there. But, you know, they've lost a lot of... This is not what you thought you were getting out of Paul Millsap when they brought him in the offseason. So, got the Bruce Brown hamstring. Got Paul Millsap dealing with, whatever is dealing with him in his personal life. Hope everything's okay. Then we get another word that Nick Claxton's still going to be out a couple more weeks. That's the latest thing that came in over the weekend with Claxton, where... he was sick, and I don't know if it's been totally reported about what his sickness was, but it wasn't COVID. But I'm pretty sure it wasn't COVID. But he's been out for a long time now. I think this has gone on for way longer than anyone thought he was going to. He's been at the games, so he's been in street clothes going to the games. the couple of weeks piece was about conditioning. So if he just hasn't been able to play and there's been no basketball activity at all for him, and likely there hasn't with being sick, we are still looking at many more games without Nick Claxton. So you can just see how this list continues to grow, especially if they're going to lose Bruce Brown here, where you just now this is, you know, dealing with a lot of injuries and having to have a lot of guys step up. Like I said, I think we see Kevin Durant back for this one. So in good shape there. And that, you know, obviously bolsters so much of what everyone else can do, because you're just called, everyone else is called on to do less. But the injuries sort of are and have been piling up for the Nets, or just lack of availability. So if you don't count Millsaps as an injury, but personal reasons, okay. Sometimes it doesn't matter. Not being there is just not being there. Like that's, if you're not, if you can't play, sometimes it kind of doesn't matter what the reason is. You know, and we mentioned Kyrie Irving here with this. It's like he's not hurt, but he's just not available. So at some point, you're kind of talking about the same thing. If the guy can't be on the team, then he can't be on the team, and you're not getting any of the minutes out of him. And I think, you know, sometimes we've been too sort of blasé around Irving not being on the team. But when you lose him to start, the cascading effect of everyone else having to do more, and you just losing those minutes builds up, and it just sort of builds up and builds up and builds up. And now we have no Kyrie, no Joe Harris, who's questionable for this one too with the ankle injury. You know, Kevin Durant dealing with the shoulder injury. I think it was probably mostly minutes management, but he sits out a game. Okay, we'll see what happens with Bruce Brown. We'll see when Nick Claxton gets back. This is a long list. This is a lot. Like the fact that we're still kind of talking about this list, I'm still going with it, is pretty crazy in terms of just sort of the injuries that they're dealing with. It happens for every team. It's not an excuse, okay? Every team deals with injuries. Some teams have dealt more than the Nets have this season. So I'm not using the injury piece as any kind of excuse right now, but mostly just to make mention of like how much we're talking about it, right? How much it's sort of building up. And when it builds up, the more some players can't play, the more others have to. And the Nets are not exactly a young team. James Johnson, we mentioned, he's 34. This guy's not young. You know, Aldridge is getting long in the tooth. We've already said that Blake has probably had more on his plate this season than he really should have had. And it's having a wearing effect on his ability to be an effective basketball player. So even sometimes when you're not injured, one, you increase your injury risk, especially when you're older, by having to play more than you probably should be. But two, you just have this downgrading effect of, you know, playing more minutes is going to mean, you know, the minutes get less quality the more you have to go. It's like a pitcher going longer into a baseball game, right? Like, it just, at some point, when you're at the 100 pitch mark, your pitches just aren't going to sometimes have the same effect. Or worse, you start a play through fatigue, and that's when you actually really get injured also. And so I think this is just going to be a theme for the Nets this whole season. We talked about it in terms of Kevin Durant and James Harden on Friday, but you just heard the list. This is a long list of injuries that they have at this point, and it's probably something that's likely to not correct itself for the course of the season. I think this is going to be a theme with the Brooklyn Nets this year. It just makes sense based on the age, the amount of miles some of these guys just already have on their legs and or just their bodies in general, that we are just probably going to see a situation where this is something that we talk about a lot. I hope they can manage it. I think it's not the end of the world, but if you think that, you know, if you're the person that says, hey, they just got to get healthy and we'll be okay, I don't know if like full health is really walking back through the door. Okay, we're going to get out of here. Thanks so much again for making Locked On Nets your first listen. We're free and available on all platforms. Also over on YouTube, this episode and more streaming over on the Locked On Nets YouTube channel. I will put that link in the show notes. Adam usually gives a quote to get out of here. I'm going to leave the poetry to him and just say we will be back again tomorrow talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.